Hello, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute, our podcast where we discuss the film Blade Runner 60 seconds at a goddamn time. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today's Minute 11. The minute starts off with the police spinner lifting off. Within it is R, Deckard and Geth. And it ends with the police spinner landing. Inside the spinner when it lands is still, R still, Geffert and Deck.
Sure. Do you want to discuss
what
happened?
That's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
And, it's been a great episode. They're in the spinner, designed by Sid Mead, right? He did all the design work for this?
The spinner was designed by Sid Mead.
Okay.
I don't like the way he spells his name, but whatever.
Which one? Sid with the Y?
Sid with the Y, yeah.
And Mead Notebooks?
He was credited as a... I don't know if he was credited in this movie as a visual futurist.
Yeah, that's what they call him.
But he has been credited as a visual futurist.
A visual futurist, so
why don't we apply that futurist title to more jobs? Like, you're a teacher, so you're a child futurist?
A future futurist, right? I'm building the future. I'm just a futurist.
Well, he's creating a visual future. Like a futuristic looking scene or clothes or city. So you're creating a futuristic mind for children. Like you're getting...
Futurist mind.
Futurist, yeah. What did I say?
No, I'm just saying.
The...
But I do like... I think it's interesting that he designed all of these. Hold your hand there. Keep it up there while you finish that thought. I do like that he worked for car companies, right? Doing catalogs at one point and design.
You know what? Let's rewind. Police 995.
995?
Couple of milliseconds before we head into minute 11, the spinner is... that's the car, by the way. Geth's police car is called a spinner. It says police 995 on the door of the car. Did you look that up? Do you know what the 995 is?
I couldn't find anything really on it. I tend to believe that it is like a precinct.
Okay, so it's probably a precinct or like
because
a district.
Because we've seen that number.
Just a location identifier, probably, like their area, their zone.
Yeah, right? That's like the way we have the 61st precinct, the 127th precinct. Right.
Okay, if we're wrong about that and you know what the 995 means, call us out at the happy hour at the White Dragon.
Happy hour at the White Dragon Noodle Bar.
Noodle Bar on Facebook. That's our Facebook group.
For fans.
For fans.
Or for people who hate it. I don't know, whoever wants to talk to us about this.
Yeah, no, seriously, let us know what the 995 is, because I Googled it a couple different times, and I couldn't really find anything satisfying about that 995. Another thing is the purge screen. Did you notice that right before when he takes off? Same purge screen from Alien, when she's blowing up the Nostromo.
I always love when directors put something that's similar in each of their movies, like
the
nod to a previous film of theirs. I think of like the 1138 in Lucasfilms,
right?
Which I don't know if he put it in or someone working on the film, but
I always thought that Lucas put that 1138 in there. That shows up in all three movies. Now I'm reading recently that he was actually annoyed that Kirschner and Marquand.
Well, he named this company THX, so like, why can't we use an 1138 nod if he used the THX nod?
In Blade Runner, do you think it was an homage to his own work, like plagiarism, or he was just lazy and needed, maybe it was cheaper to just use that stuff he had on?
He may have just liked the look of it, and he thinks if it was on the Nostromo, like, it's something that the machine has to do, purge toxins, purge used oil, whatever it is, and it was something that would continue.
I like the idea
Is it in Soldier?
I don't know. I like
but
the idea
that's like
that,
what's his name? The writers.
I don't know. I like the idea that Ridley Scott just loves his work so much that he loves his previous work and all the visual work that people have done for him so much that he just wants to reuse it just because it's so gorgeous and he wants to see it again.
Well, there's an author and illustrator who does the same thing. Chris Van Allsburg, he did Jumanji and Polar Express, those books before they were movies. Thank you very much. His first book featured a spotted dog, so he then put that dog hidden within every one of his books after that. Like, it could be like a sock puppet, it could be a picture on the wall, but that dog is always found in one of his books, and I appreciated that hunt for the continuity, I guess, the relationship between books that are unrelated being related.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's like a little game.
It's fun. So Sid Mead.
Sid Mead.
Right back where we started. The visual futurist. Yeah, he worked for Ford designing cars.
Designing cars? I thought it was just catalogs and stuff.
He did a catalog, but he worked in the design department.
The visual, right? Visual design? He's not, like, designing, like, the interior stuff. You generally see a design. He's not designing... He's not engineering and doing the things inside the car. He's doing the look of the car. Like, how do we want the headlight to look? How do we want the side view mirrors to look? How do we want the lines of the car, right? Is that what
I
did?
Don't know how much power one person has over the whole design of a car, every aspect of it. I never even thought about that. If it's just the shape of the outside, or you do the lights, I'll do the hood, we'll do the wheels. I don't know how that works in when they're designing cars. If there's several departments or several people within one department, I just know that the guy worked for Ford, and I'm assuming that he designed the look of a car.
Or at least
We need something nice and flashy to sell to people. Hey, you, get your damn talent over here. So after that, he got into the moving pictures. He worked on Star Trek, the motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the city and background, and obviously car designs for Blade Runner. He worked on the Tron vehicles. I grew up loving Tron. Rewatched it recently. So, did you like Tron?
It was okay. I don't watch it now.
Do you want to do the Tron Minute with me?
I thought someone does the Tron Minute.
I haven't found it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding. I can't do the Tron Minute. I could barely do this minute. He worked on 2010. I couldn't find if he'd worked on 2001.
No, I don't
Space
think
Odyssey. I think he just did 2010.
I think only 2010.
If I'm mistaken about that, call me out on it, please. On Facebook. Worked on Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Not Alien.
Just Aliens. And then these three. I'm sorry to pick favorites. These three are my favorites. He designed Johnny Five in Short Circuit.
I know. That's so cool.
And the Time Machine and Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's not as cool as Johnny Five in Short Circuit.
And the Simstick and the headgear in Strange Days.
Still not as cool to me as Johnny Five.
That was Ralph Fiennes, right? That was Voldemort?
I think so.
Voldemort, you heard me pronounce it correctly? Mm-hmm. Not Voldemort. Oh. Yeah, the spinner takes off vertically.
Mm-hmm.
It can drive on the ground like a car. It can take off straight up like a rocket into the sky. Like a rocket.
Are they going to keep saying rocket?
Like a rocket. It hovers using jet propulsion. They also used it in The Fifth Element. And the flying cars in the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah.
I don't understand what that meant when I read it. There were no flying cars in movies before Sid Mead?
I don't know. Maybe the way it moves, the way it propels. Like, they would fly, but not that spinning, like a helicopter effect. It has to do with something of the mechanics, but I'm not smart enough to figure out why. And I won't be able to, find out. I'm sure there were flying cars, but not in that way. Like, maybe they were more hover.
Well, either way, he's contributed a lot to special effects and designs of some of our favorite movies.
Yeah. Yeah, the company, the visual effects company was what? Entertainment Effects Group? So there was a whole bunch of people who then translated what he did, what he designed, and like these mad thoughts that he had of what the cyberpunk future would be like, this futurist, and these are the people who actually did it. There's a whole bunch of them, but we're going to get into them more detail as we move on, but it was Entertainment Effects Group.
What did you write? He contributed to.
Why are you reading my notes that has nothing to do with Sid Mead?
I love the way you write. Hold on.
No, my writing is terrible.
All right, move on. Go ahead.
So Sid Mead was influenced. Or I guess everybody on this team was influenced by Mobius, aka Jean Giraud.
Giraud, yeah, the French.
So Jean Giraud illustrated a comic book called Metal Hurlant, which it means howling metal, but it was translated here as heavy metal. And there was a lot of futuristic and the same style work. And
you're talking about heavy. Okay, no, go ahead.
Yeah, heavy metal, the comic.
And the movie, the animated movie.
Yeah, well, that's why it was based on that.
I was
about
to say, that's.
His work really inspired things like Akira, and I would actually say things like Ghost in a Shell as well, because that have that same cyberpunk feel. Sure. With these busy streets and dirty, but all this tech around them.
We are a trapper keeper.
He also did a graphic novel called The Long Tomorrow, which has a lot of scenes in it that do look like a Blade Runner styling of the same, like the way the people look. I can't describe it better than that, because the visuals just look so much like Blade Runner.
Weren't you watching heavy metal when we met?
Yeah, I watched a lot of anime. I really watched anime a lot.
You had a friend or a boyfriend that was into that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Got you into it?
Yes.
I'm so closed off to anime I was so closed off until...
Until recently?
Well, not recently. It's been like...
But Akira, you...
it's been since I hung out with you, but it took a while.
Akira is beautiful. Yeah. The music is outstanding. Same thing goes for Ghost in a Shell.
That's some soundtrack. Akira. I drive to that Akira soundtrack sometimes.
I would listen to the Ghost in a Shell from the first movie. Well, even like the series too, but I'm particularly talking about the movie. I would listen to that all the time. It's beautiful. They're just beautiful works of art. They actually did ask him, Mobius, to work on Blade Runner, but he really couldn't because he was working on something, I think, called Time Masters. He said he regretted it, but I wouldn't doubt that when you work in a field like this one, that if someone told me Sid Mead was calling Mobius and saying, hey, what do you think about this? That there wasn't some like, oh, great, maybe you could add a little bit more shadow here, or I love the way you did this. I can't imagine that they wouldn't be collaborative. Even if people aren't mentioning it, like, I don't know why I feel like they would have all just worked together. But Mobius did contribute to Alien and Tron as well, so he did go to work with Sid Mead on Tron. And
he actually worked on it, or it was just influenced by it?
No, he contributed to, and Fifth Element and The Abyss. They were also influenced by that Nighthawks painting. So if anyone doesn't know, Nighthawks is that classic painting you see in every Spencer's. They have that poster of people sitting in a diner at night, and the only thing lit up is the diner, and everything else is dark around it.
Am I confusing that with another piece of art that has like Elvis and Marilyn Monroe?
They add people to it all the time. Yeah, see what I mean? Like it's very pop culture classic, but that was painted in 1942. But okay. We've used it in so many other things, like the way we've seen The Scream.
Yeah, sure.
By Van Gogh, like we've seen it in a million different ways.
Which was directly influenced by Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Exactly.
Macaulay Culkin came first.
But so we've seen that as so many different things that you kind of don't even realize where you saw it first.
How many people hear me talk all this rubbish and just think I'm serious and think I'm... I wonder now, because I see some comments on Facebook and people, you don't know this, I'm like, I'm joking.
That you're always playing a character? You don't think they know that?
I'm not a character.
You're a character.
Just, no, there's no character. It's just I assume incorrectly that people understand that I'm being sarcastic about 92% of the time.
See, you can't tell that was sarcastic because he looked at his eyebrows.
That's why we work so well together, because you get me. You're the only
but they
person.
Can't see you.
I know.
And take those visual cues.
I know. Oh, is that what I use to convince, to let you know? Is that how you know I'm messing around all the time?
Some of it's tone and some of it's visual cues.
Is that why you yell at me on the phone all the time? Because you can't tell when I'm joking?
100%.
It only took me 37 years, but I'm starting to understand. You got to be nice in life.
Against sarcasm.
You got to be nice to people. You gotta be courteous, man. And professional. I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing a podcast, for Christ's sake. I have a responsibility to the internet to take this seriously. I'm going to start cursing a lot more, by the way, I've decided.
In life or on the podcast?
On the podcast.
Why?
Because I don't know. I tried to keep it fucking clean, and now I just...
And you felt limited.
And now I feel like, yeah.
Don't put me in a box?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't put... I'm a tiger. You can't put Alicia in a tiger.
Are we
going to
do transcripts too?
Well, fuck, man. Yeah. No. Those are it. Those are the only curses.
So getting back to the actual minute.
We're still doing this.
We're still doing this.
Awesome.
So in the minute you have, we said... We're going to call him what? Gafford? Is that what we're calling him now? Because you messed up Deckard's name.
Gaff. We got Gaff.
We got Gaff and Deckard in the car. And I love that Deckard took his noodles with him. And he's making this face.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Gaff's saying something to him in city speak. Because he looks over at him.
I don't. You've said this to
me privately. He has a look.
They're not talking in the scene. They're not talking.
Deckard is not talking.
Gaff isn't either.
You hear something.
I hear.
And he looks over.
Like the radio.
But you look over and he has this look to like Deckard as if he's speaking to him. And Deckard just doesn't care.
I don't pick up on that at all. Gaff looks bored.
It just feels
like
that.
Focused on driving. I love, first of all, you missed the Cuisinart sign. The neon Cuisinart sign when the spinner takes off.
Well, later on there's also
behind
the Pan Am sign.
Behind the exhaust, you see the
and then we have
fumes.
The Pan Am sign, and we have the beautiful Alexis Ray, but she's smoking a cigarette, right?
You got the Pan Am. So we talked about the curse, right?
Which curse?
You know what? I'm gonna save.
Oh yes,
save
I think we
later.
Did.
I'm gonna save it for later.
I think
later
we
on.
Did.
I'm gonna save it. The RCA sign is down there.
I thought that was in a previous scene.
And this is... No, no. Well, might have been also, but I noticed it.
We're just keeping the running list?
I rewatched the scene. This was like a throwaway scene for me at first. This was something... This whole minute worried me.
It's like a minute in between?
It worried me because I was like, oh, there's nothing happening. I watched it and I started pausing a couple of times. I was like, I'm nuts. There's so much happening.
There's a lot of visual happening. There's so much happening. Yeah, there's a lot of visual happening. You know, as they're flying over this view of the city... There are these super high rises. They have these beautiful lights that remind me of Tetris because they're all geometric and fit together. I don't know if they are a painting
or the lights and the models. There's these little tiny, I want to say fiber optics.
Did they do fiber optics?
It's these little, yeah, it's these little tiny lights by hand that were placed into each window on those model buildings down there.
We really got to go to the moving image. That's the shot
that has the Millennium Falcon in it. It's off. Yeah, you can't catch it. It's off on the left.
How big of a TV do you think I need?
You'll never see it. Picture like a black screen, and I just outline the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, so like looking in the clouds, and I see a dragon, yeah, and exactly. You see an apple.
But supposedly it's there. It's standing up against the building, and it's got all this crap on it, hoses and stuff and whatnot, and it's just been integrated.
Did
completely.
They do it as a nod for Lucas, or because Harrison's on the movie? What do you think?
Probably both. There's a pan of the city right around this time, in this minute, and I think I see the Millennium Falcon satellite dish. I definitely see a satellite dish.
Okay, not every satellite dish has to be Millennium Falcon.
No,
Was it round or was it square?
There was only one satellite dish used in all movies in the 70s and 80s. Everybody knows that.
And did they borrow it from set to set? Like, can I borrow that for a second?
It was in the same crate that the Ark was in Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. So they're in the plane. He's eating his noodles. He's totally finishing them. I love that because this is my lunch. I got to finish when I'm eating.
And they're headed to the police headquarters.
That building is Deckard gorgeous. Deckard clearly doesn't give...
to pee-pee shits.
At all. Doesn't care at all that he's going to this place because he just got to eat his noodles. But the main point of this shot to me was the city scene, right?
Yeah.
I said the super high rises, those beautiful lights, the movement of the spinner, and that's the way it flies. We do then, we said we see the billboards, we hear the landing instructions. I'm pretty sure Gaff was trying to say something to Deckard. Judging by the final cut, but in the voiceover version, what was going on? Do we know?
I don't know.
That was the first one I saw, but I was very young and I don't remember it. No. I really only, my frame of reference
pretty sure
is this one.
There's no conversation happening.
No, I just felt like they were talking.
I think it's air traffic control.
That I do hear for sure.
First in city speak or maybe straight up Japanese and Hungarian. I like the controls that Gaff uses to steer.
That he like puts his hands into
it
them?
It looks like a mech control panel.
What was that mech game you used to like a lot?
Zone of the Enders,
yes. Going back to that cyberpunk life, that everything's dirty, but then high tech, low life. Like it's clear as day there. Like you're on the ground, it's low life. Up in the air is high tech, and I really appreciate that. And in case people didn't know, this was filmed partially on New York City streets as well. They did a lot of shots and then added to it, but they also did a lot of filming in Burbank at the Warner Brothers lot. I kind of feel like I want to go to the find out which streets they filmed on in New York.
I thought most of the movie was shot in L.A., downtown L.A.
They did it at the Warner Brothers lot, but they did some city streets, like pickup shots.
The pickup shots
added
in New York?
Stuff. Yeah.
I know they did some stuff in London, too.
I wouldn't doubt that they went to Chinatown tried to make those streets a little cleaner to look like this, or like dirty it up, yeah. And like
I remember Harrison Ford's body double, or whatever, acting double. Did some pickup shots because Harrison Ford couldn't come to London. I remember reading that, so I know they went to London, but I didn't know about New York. That's interesting.
So now they hear the landing instructions, they spin down, and they land at what we're assuming is police headquarters or the police precinct.
No, it's police headquarters. Yeah, it's all
right. Why do we call it headquarters and not the precinct?
Because it sounds cooler to say headquarters, HQ. What were you saying, precinct?
Yeah.
Precinct is so RoboCop. This is HQ. It's
but then that 995, how can it not be a precinct 995?
It's a huge building. It's got.
Did other police spinners have 995? Or just this one?
I want David Wang to know that when I say Coruscant, I'm making fun of Jake Lloyd. Alright, go ahead.
If that's going to be how you do it, can we also do one for, what is it? He made, Dooku was mispronounced, right?
No, I just, because I compared this in the previous version of this episode.
Oh, okay.
For those of you that don't know, For the three people that listen,
sometimes
to this
we
episode,
have issues. We made a mistake
in our facts.
I made a mistake because I
originally for minute 11, so we decided to re-record it. And in the original version, I compared this Blade Runner LA to Coruscant in the prequels, which Coruscant is clearly based on. And I said Coruscant.
Because Jake Lloyd did it
because
on the
Jake
special
Lloyd
features.
Because Jake Lloyd kept messing up his lines and Lucas kept cutting on the special features this. Coruscant. So I said it and somebody on Facebook said, you mispronounced Coruscant. I know, David. I did it on purpose, David.
Why are you picking on David?
Because he's my only friend online.
I know, Matt and Alan are the only people who talk to us online. I gotta make them all origami unicorns.
It's fun times. We're all family here. Yes. You wanna?
No, you wrap it up.
You wrap it up.
You wrap it up because we got other things to do.
All right. Bye, guys. Hope you liked it, and come back for the other one that happens after this. Right? Is that generally how things happen?
I think
one after another.
One after another.
Awesome.
Yes.
I got that right. Later.